gomsom ningbo la chusam gomsom sene semje nelo de singbo to na sene trapa ta troba kande yungu de ha ko bi che do trapa de ji ta
to teachings on the basic nature of mind, Buddha nature, and then reflects over their meaning and meditates on it, and in this way comes to a realization of this nature, then what kind of happiness will result from it? To understand this, we will sing the song of the seven divides.
Rang semje dekhi nyingbo la, vaisa dekhi nyingbo la, cho je yi, kher je ta lo je lo de donhi.
And the way that we should sing is by looking straight into our own nature, that very nature which is the Buddha nature, our own basic mind which is clear light, while singing, we should look straight into that and relax within
it. So
we should sing in the
way
that we should. And when the time comes for us to die, we should do the same thing. We should look straight into the mind into our mind as we are dying, and look straight in our mind, rest relaxed within that clear light which is beyond all death.
The Nayan, lower the Kenayan, Gomteya Hure, Heaven Namdong, all the Kirche, that Lode Luna, to so go.
And if we should come to die suddenly, this is the best meditation method to apply at the time of death, just looking straight into that mind which is dying, and resting relaxed within the clear light beyond death. It doesn't take much time, you can just do it like that.
Yeah.
When thoughts that
good morning, everyone. May your knowledge that comes from listening, the knowledge that comes from reflection, and the knowledge that comes from meditation grow and develop further and further.
Yeah,
Meaningful connections. In order to completely confirm for oneself and gain rigorous certainty about the view that the fundamental nature of mind is the Buddha nature, which is the clear light, and in order for that to directly manifest in meditation, and in order for one to be able to express it through one's conduct, it is important and necessary to remember impermanence. And therefore, we will sing the song of the 8 things to remember.
Namba Sanje Gom Tamje Jinani Matapa Gomba Cho Bena Ji Gangba Ji Jinani Lambo Ji Ji Dingbe Ji Jin Cho to Choba Ji Hu De Yendo Dene Namba Namba Sanje Gom Tamje Jinani Cho to Choba Matapa Gom Yipas Junsen Karasana Matapa Mando Gona Tango Chula Joko Jose Parto Tun to Jose Tarchun Tarsim Bersin. This is not, then a Gontam Jiji Cho do Matapa.
So, this is how we should keep impermanence in mind. And this meditation on impermanence is said to be supreme among all of the forms of meditation that are available within the Buddhist system. This is the sublime of them all. It is compared to the hoof print of an elephant. Since the elephant is the largest of animals, it leaves the largest footprint. And in the same way, the meditation on impermanence is of the greatest importance for one's practice of Dharma, because it enables one to quickly enter the Dharma in the beginning. It is the support for one's diligence along the way. And in the end, it enables one to finally perfect the practice. Even when we are in very fine circumstances where our body is in good health and we have whatever money we need, we have possessions that we require, we are surrounded by friends, and everything is going smoothly. Even at that time, we should remember impermanence, because all of these things will change due to the power of impermanence. And when they change, then one will experience the corresponding sufferings that go with these. And when that suffering arises, one needs a method to correct it, to remove it, and that method is the meditation on impermanence.
Tender, deji impersom toba yuna, jitan deji impersom toba yuna, deji lai, denbar hemba yuna, hemba kimbo yuna, dongan pigri, tene deji latin, the dongan priva kapsu mataba yaputinko.
In general, when one has the happiness and comforts that one seeks in this life, then what happens is that one attaches to them, clings to them, and this clinging to the pleasures of this life increases one's suffering. So in order to avoid this, in order to avoid clinging to the pleasures and comforts of this life, one should meditate on impermanence. And at the time when one is experiencing difficulties, where, for example, one might have an illness in one's body, or one might be experiencing great fear and anxiety or worries in one's mind, one may be experiencing suffering due to speculating about the future and worrying about that. One may be surrounded by many enemies and have very few friends. One may be lacking in possessions. One may find oneself not having enough money, and so on. When all of these sufferings occur, or when any of these kind of sufferings occur, one should also remember impermanence. Because of impermanence, all of these negative conditions will change again. So it's good to remember that they are impermanent.
Now,
and in particular, the kind of beings that we are beings in the desire realm. And because we are situated in this realm which is characterized by desire, we experience to a very great extent anger and aversion towards enemies, and desire and attachment for friends. And due both to the anger and aggression and due to the desire, we experience sufferings. So we should meditate on impermanence, remembering that the enemies are impermanent, that they will change, they do not last forever. And similarly, friends will change. They do not last forever. And when one brings the meditation down to a very subtle level, then one discovers that there is no true existence of either of the friends or the enemies, no true existence of any sort. And this enables one to realize the equality of friends and enemies. Impermanence, the remembrance of impermanence, is the method for realizing equality. If you want to realize equality, meditate on impermanence. Milarepa himself says in this song by keeping all these in mind, I also practice Dharma. And because Milarepa kept impermanence in mind, he was able to meditate on his friends and his enemies as being impermanent, recognize their equal nature, and as a result, both his friends and his enemies became his students. An example of the enemies becoming students was his aunt, and an example of his friends becoming his students were his sister, Heta, and his earlier fiancé, Zese.
Tene labar to chu dhubha kapsa rangla dunga me dechi dhusam sopa sona dhundu kapsa rang yin parte chu mitin payong ma jam per, thado per, chu mitin payong gori dhundu kapsa tene yang matapateko.
During the course of one's practice of Dharma, as one is engaging in the practice, it might happen that one comes into periods where one is not experiencing much suffering oneself, one is in a good, happy state of mind. And at that time, due to this affluence, the situation of affluence and prosperity, one's mind may wander from the Dharma and become distracted to other things, such that one forgets also, at that kind of time, one should remember
importance.
With relation to the meditation on impermanence, there is meditation on the impermanence of others and the impermanence of oneself. This song of Milarepa on the eight things to remember provides the method for how to meditate on one's own impermanence.
Tene yang chu yang tapa drupa la loba tam lobe chepar hide loba le do mulabe lang yoga besena lula drava chuni te.
Then for the practice of Dharma, it is crucial that one is able to precisely distinguish between what will lead you astray and what will not. What will lead you away from the correct path and what will lead you along a correct path. And therefore we will sing the song of Milarepa on the 12 things which tend to be misleading.
Rang chu yang kapa dhubha la dhubha kache yi dhubha te yi dhokso te malabha kande ki yabhubha.
One needs to understand well what it is that will constitute a misleading factor in connection with one's own practice. When one is practicing Dharma, what could lead you astray in connection with that practice, and what would be a reliable course to follow.
Hide, hibagoni, samsa tung chis chimpo nino, jomata vittingin zin gongi lega ja. Samsa wimperi rula, dini, semje nilu saja chimpo tang, semje nilu waisa dehi nindu, angla nyambar yaku basena, samba zulu,
by knowing what is misleading and what is not misleading, one should, when one is in the city, one should combine one's work with an understanding of everything as being illusory. And when one is in a retreat situation, for example, a mountain retreat, then one should meditate on the basic nature of mind, the Mahamudra, the fundamental mode of being of mind, which is the clear light. So by understanding what is misleading and what is not, one will be able to accomplish both of these. And since the retreat situation is important, we will now sing the song referred to as the happy ending song.
This mode is it.
So in this very mountain retreat here in Pulahari, we now find ourselves, and this place, Pulahari, has the same name as Naropa's dwelling place in India. It is also the seat of Jamgon Lodra
Jujisenge.
So we should be very happy to be here, and in our practice we should have this same intention that even if we were to die while practicing here, we would be extremely pleased. When one practices Dharma well, then one attains joy, one attains an inner happiness. And therefore we will sing the song, Gursampa's song on the Seven Delights. And in this song, Gursampa expresses the sense of the meaning of how it is that he is delighted even when sicknesses arise and even if he were to die. So we should think now that while we are practicing at this place of Pulahari, which is a place of such great blessing, that even if we fall ill, or even if it should go so far as we die, we would be delighted. And if this, if we should be so lucky as to die during the retreat here, then we can continue our mountain retreat down at Pushipati. And there, while they are burning our corpse, great fire puja will be offered. And as a Vajrayana practitioner, when one dies, then a ritual will be performed ritual instruments and so on, with the music, as many of us saw the other day down at Pushipati.
Now,
In general, there are many different ways of disposing of the body after it has died. One could bury it in the ground. One could dump it in water. One can burn it. One can feed it to vultures. But in the Vajrayana tradition, the best way of dealing with the remains is to burn them, to burn the physical skanda that is remaining, because then the puja is offered, one has the ritual instruments and the various aspects of the puja while the corpse is burning, so it becomes, so the very burning of one's physical remains becomes an offering. So if you would like to be buried, or I would say disposed of in this way, if you would like your remains treated in this way, cremated when you die, when you died here in this mountain retreat, then you should write a statement saying so, because otherwise it won't be allowed. So you have to write a formal statement and sign it, stating that you would like to be cremated here, and then we will be able to do this Vajrayana puja and offering your remains as you are.
Yeah, this is the Tanda Tan, Chun Yang to Lande, Shiva Kapso, Chun Yang to Yang, Chu Yapun Yang to Lana, the Ninang Gavata, Deva, Drobat, and they only keep a jeto, Drobat, go some for Drobat.
In order to be clear about what sort of joy, happiness, or delight comes about due to the proper practice of Brahma, we will sing this song of yourself on the seven delights. Look straight into the essence of whatever thought is in your mind at the moment. And rest relaxed within that clear light essence, which is beyond any terms and is in no way affected by any sort of imperfection. As previously, we should begin by developing the attitude of the Mahayana, the resolve towards enlightenment,
bodhicitta.
Today, we will look at the point which deals with continual unchangingness at the stage of complete purity. So Rinpoche has now given the reading transmission for this next section of the text. And he is asking the translator to explain it briefly based on his study of the text 20 years ago. This Dharmakaya is not even born in a body which is of mental nature, since it is permanent. It does not even die due to the
death and transmigration, which constitute an inconceivable transformation, since it is everlasting. It is not even harmed by the sicknesses of the subtle remaining imprints, since it is peace. It does not even age due to the undefiled compositional factors, since it is immutable. It has the property of permanence, whose nature is such that it never changes into any other physical form. So in other words, the Dharmakaya does not appear in any body. It has no bodily manifestation. It does not change in the sense of changing from one kind of physical state into another. It has the property of permanence. And why? Because it is endowed with limitless properties, which are the qualities of genuine reality, which in themselves are inexhaustible. And these qualities are present even in the expanse of the nirvana, which is without any remainder of skandhas. So the term, the nirvana without any remainder of skandhas, refers to the type of nirvana attained by the arhats, in which the skandhas have been eliminated in the same sense that one eliminates the light of a candle by blowing it out, by extinguishing the flame. The state of Buddhahood is similar to the expanse without remainder in the sense that there are no further skandhas which were produced through karmic action. So in that sense, there is no remainder of skandhas. However, it is not the kind of state in which the mind stream has been totally extinguished. And the sign of that is that the mind of a complete and perfect Buddha, which here is referred to as the Dharmadhatu or the Dharmakaya, is possessed of limitless qualities. So if we present this in the form of a syllogism, it would be given the Buddha nature, which is the completely purified Dharmadhatu, it is permanent and never changes into anything else. Because even in the expanse of nirvana without remainder of skandhas, there are limitless qualities present. Similarly, this completely purified nature is referred to as the refuge of beings, the completely undeceiving refuge, which has the property of being everlasting, as it is translated here. One could also translate this reliable. It is reliable as a refuge. And why? Because it contains within it the properties which are inherent to protection. And it provides this protection as long as samsara lasts, right up to the final end of samsara. Then the next line says, it is always free from duality since it is away from any ideation. This means this Dharmadhatu, which is free of any sort of imperfection, is always free of the duality, which takes the form of thinking of samsara and nirvana as being two different things. And the reason why it is always free of that duality is that it contains within it what is inherent to it is the quality of non-conceptuality, in which the advantages of nirvana and the disadvantages of samsara are not being conceptualized. They're not being conceptually possible. And therefore, there is no split of samsara and nirvana essentially. If samsara and nirvana were to be something essentially different from each other, as truly existing opposites, then it would never be possible to be liberated from samsara and achieve nirvana. But since they are not different in kind, since they are not essentially different, they could be compared to water and ice. State of samsara could be compared to ice, state of nirvana to the water. So all of the suffering, the conflicted states of mind, the difficulties that one experiences, and so on, are the ice. And realizing the non-conceptual wisdom frees that, or melts that ice, in the sense that one is no longer related to one's suffering and conflicted states of mind dualistically, seeing them as constituting a truly existing problem from which one seeks some kind of ultimate solution. The solution consists in realizing the non-conceptual wisdom. And at the point of Buddhahood, that wisdom is perfect, and therefore there is never any sort of duality. It is also an indestructible state, and this indestructible state is referred to by the term dharmata, or pure being. And pure being, that is to say sheer being, freed of conceptual complications, has the property of being immutable. Because the nature which is inherent to it is not created by karmic action nor afflicted states of mind. So since the ultimate nature of pure being is not created, it is instructed. The Dhammakaya, which is completely pure, clear light, does not arise in the beginning, does not die in the end, and is not harmed in any way by sickness along the way, and does not change in the sense of aging, because it is impermanent, everlasting, peaceful, and immutable. So the first statement, you say, given the Dharmakaya, it is not born in the beginning, because it is permanent. The second one, it does not die because it is everlasting. The third, it is not harmed by any sort of habitual tendencies because it is peace. And it does not age, or there is no sense of aging, because it is immutable. This Dharmakaya is not even born in a body, which is of a mental nature, since it is permanent. So one might think, since the Dharmakaya is a very subtle state of mind, perhaps it is manifest in some sort of subtle mental body. Since everything else that we know manifests in some sort of body, any sort of mind manifestation takes place in a body. Even the formless gods are born in a very subtle mental body. The arhats have a subtle mental body. So the Dharmakaya must also have a subtle mental body. But it does not, because it is permanent. As long as there is any bodily form, that body will experience birth and death. Because the Dharmakaya is permanent, there is no physical manifestation at all, not even of a subtle mental nature. Since it is not born, there will be no death. Not even the type of death which an arhat experiences. The arhat's type of death is referred to as an inconceivable transformation. Since the arhat has achieved the elimination of the skandhas, the type of death that they undergo is an extremely subtle one, and one which cannot be understood conceptually. But even that which is the most subtle form of death is not experienced by the Dharmakaya. For the Dharmakaya is not the subject, even to that, that subtlest form of death. Then one might think, well, since the Dharmakaya is the basic nature of mind, it must in some way be affected by whatever that mind experiences. So if I am ill, then that must be something which is basically experienced all the way through my mind. It must be experienced by my mind as such. But that is not the case. The basic nature of mind is not even harmed by the sicknesses of the subtle remaining imprints. So the sicknesses of the subtle remaining imprints means the the habitual tendencies, the way in which the mind is, the balance, the state of balance in the mind is affected by its own habitual tendencies. And since the nature of mind is not even affected by the habitual tendencies, and here in this state of complete purification, these habitual tendencies have also been removed. That is part of the definition of Buddhahood, that the two obscurations, together with all of the habitual tendencies producing them, have been purified. Since there are no further habitual tendencies, the mind is not influenced by them in any way. And it does not undergo any aging process, which could be produced by the karmic inclinations, because it is a state of peace. So the term compositional factors that is used here indicates the influence of karma. We can say the conditioning effect of karma. What causes the process of aging is the conditioning effect of karma. Here in the completely purified state, there is no further influence from karmic sources. therefore there is nothing which could produce a gradual change in the nature of mind. That gradual change is what we usually refer to as aging. There is no conditioning process coming from karma, and therefore there is no aging, since the nature of mind itself is completely immutable. So that completes the explanation of the sense in which the mind is continually unchanging in its completely purified state. So we recite the two verses that we did not. So we recite these two verses three times. We'll recite these two verses once.
This Dhammakaya is not born, it does not die, it suffers no harm, and it does not age, since it is permanent, everlasting, peaceful, and immutable. This Dhammakaya is not even born in a body which is of a mental nature, since it is permanent, it does not even die due to the death and transmigration which constitutes an inconceivable transformation. Since it is everlasting, it is not even harmed by the sicknesses of the so-do-may-meaning imprint. Since it speaks beside, does not even age due to the undefiled position of that factor, since it is immutable.
So the first statement was that the nature of mind is unborn because it's permanent. So that's the first two sentences that are involved. The second, it does not die because it is everlasting, or as we also were translating that, it is reliable. It's something that one can rely on, it is stable, and therefore does not undergo death. The next two to be combined are, it does not age because it is at peace. There is no change involved, therefore in this state of peace there is no aging. It suffers no harm because it is peace, and it does not age because it is immutable. So those four need to be combined together. Then the next verse says, since it is endowed with inexhaustible qualities, the Dharmakaya is unchangingness itself, and thus has the attribute of permanence. Since it equals the uttermost end, it is the refuge itself, and thus has the attribute of everlastingness. Since absence of thought is its nature, it is the true state free from duality, and thus has the attribute of peace. Since it constitutes qualities which are not created, it is indestructible and thus has the attribute of immutability. But So, I can find this commentary. I can explain it. Applying the terms that have been used in the brief summary. Which is the Dharmakaya. Even in the expanse of the Nirvana, which has no remainder, possesses limitless qualities, and for that reason it has the property of being permanent, whose character is such that it does not undergo any change into another state. It has the property of being reliable, or as translated here, everlasting, which in itself constitutes an undeceiving refuge, because it is an uninterrupted form of guidance and protection, which carries on as long as samsara lasts. It has the property of being peace, and that peace is dharmata, being itself, which is free of any duality of existence and pacification. And therefore has the quality of being immutable. It is the indestructible reality. It is called the indestructible reality, or having the property of being immutable, because that nature itself contains within it properties which are not created or brought about through any artifice using causes and conditions, and therefore has this property of peace, which is free of duality of existence and peace. Existence and mere pacification. So this is saying that the Buddha nature as such is Dharmakaya, It is also called the Tathagata, or the one gone into suchness. It is called the Noble Truth, and Noble Truth here refers to the Noble Truth of Cessation. It is also ultimate Nirvana. Other than this state of transcendence of suffering, other than this Nirvana, there is no other, there is nothing else that could be called Buddha.
Tanda Tartoka Nyande de Sanje Sanje Mato Mide Tartoka Nyande Tobala Sanje Jikomatoko. Te Jumsin Karasana, the Hik Nimbo number Tabate, Chukotan, the Yinchipatan, Papung Open, Demba, the Yangil and Deba, the Yimbesena, Nyande and Tartoka, the Sanje Mato.
There is no other Buddhahood than this, because this is the Dharmakaya, this is the Tathagata, this is the truth of a noble being, and this is genuine reality. The Nirvana attained by the Arhats and the Nirvana attained by the Pratyeka Buddhas is not the ultimate Nirvana. It is a temporary form of Nirvana. Only the Nirvana of the Tathagata is the ultimate and final and true Nirvana.
The Nirvana Dharanja Je Lami Nyande Tomne Laryang Thakpa Chimpulana Hyokte Sanje Jikombatavu.
Those arhats who achieve, or those who achieve arhathood, and therefore come to rest in an expanse which is free of any remainders of skandhas, have not achieved a final and lasting state of nirvana. They must be reborn again and follow the, or they must return and follow the Mahayana path. In order to achieve complete Buddhahood.
Tene tanamja chuyna ne chopa yendi yer me bce ka khi la so tene lo jima yang ye khi so ne.
So from among the 10 forms of the 10 classifications that this section of the text works with, we did not get to the point that deals with the inseparability. But we will do. Then, as far as these first four Vajra points are concerned, there has been a book produced which which bases itself on the commentary by Jamgon Khunchen Lodutai, in which these four points are explained. So next year, those who are will be studying the Tibet can go through these four Vajra points word by word in the Tibet and get the explanation. Now we will meditate
briefly.
The fact that we have listened to this explanation of the 10 points in the presentation from the the Mahayana Uttara Tantra Shastra with the commentary by Jamgon Khunchen Lodutai, and we received this explanation right in front of the earthly remains of Jhama Rinpoche, may this form an auspicious connection for the reincarnation of Jhama Rinpoche to be able to mature at countless numbers of beings to be tamed.
Tangato di Korsa Chandore, Malare, Piyuso, Devu Malamte, Tene Marpe, Trek.
So now, on the occasion of completing this course, we will sing the Milarepa song called The Departing. Departing Aspiration Prayer. And then we will follow that with Marpa's Departing Wish.
Yeah, Lan.
May we all meet in true joy's pure domain.
Shrine room for the
Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Amen.
Mahom bariam, tene jamgono budget densa polar de peke lecheta sirede deta wecheta yangi yangu tu loma tu tuba dan bomba dan hiba gombi kiram tarse de taye besinjina na pemba jate.
It is Rinpoche's wish that this Shedra, this school for the study of Dharma, will continue in the future here at Pulaharin, enabling students to listen to genuine teachings, to reflect over their meaning and to meditate on them. And in this way, may we be able to benefit limitless numbers of beings.
Tene danda pa drupra yore, drukang nana acharya mambu yore, drupra kutin yore, tinana acharya mambu yore. Mambala tene, dekheja tsupe kapso yam, tene gegi mambu tengri.
Also here at Pulahari, there are a number of retreatants doing the 3-year retreat, 17 to be exact. And among these 17 retreatants, there are also a number of acharyas, of fully educated acharyas. So when the Shedra, when the monastic institute is formed in the future, the acharyas will be able to serve as teachers in that institute. And it is also Rinpoche's aspiring.
It
is Rinpoche's further wish and aspiration prayer that the works of Jamun Khonsu Lodratsaye will spread and become known throughout the entire world. The works of Lodratsaye are extremely vast in number and include among them the five treasuries. So it is Rinpoche's wish that these works, these teachings of Jamun Lodratsaye will become known throughout
the world.
The for those who have been doing the retreat, the most important texts that have been taught have been the Sabo Nangdun, the text called The Profound Inner Meaning, the Takpa Nipa, the two, well, it's a text on the Vajra Tantra, and the Julama, or Mahayana Tara Tantra Shastra, are the most important texts that they have studied. And for this reason, this is why Rinpoche has been explaining the texts of Jamun Lodratsaye so extensively throughout the years. It is his wish that the works of Lodratsaye, which include both the five treasuries and numerous commentaries on major works, will become known throughout the world.
The Pillar Samayamba, Kalem Bola, Yang, Tene Lavala, Dukang Yere, Tasan Keta, Tajong Keta, Hira Mambu Yere, Yang, Pukuchung Chong, Tapome, Patela, Ujo, Tolo, Loda Yere, gengo gepo to la genzo kan yele tenda wo zai patya ti mi re
and among the various forms of activity that Jhamma Rinpoche has performed, not only the retreat here at Buhari and the activities here, but also at Kalimpong in Lala, there is a retreat facility. There are also a number of scholastic institutes that have been established in many places. He has also founded orphanages for the care and support of children with no parents. He has also established old age homes for taking care of people in their old age, and so on, an inconceivable number of activities. These are all examples of the incredible activity that is made possible through the compassion of a great bodhisattva. And it is Rinpoche's wish and aspiration that these activities will continue to grow and develop. Also in Tibet, in Kham area of Tibet, there are two retreat centers, places where mountain retreats were established by the previous incarnations of Jhamma Rinpoche. So these are the names of the two retreat places. These are being rebuilt and are again flourishing. So this is Rinpoche's wish that the teachings of Jhamma Rinpoche and everything that he has established will flourish and develop throughout the world, and we should make it our wish as well.
I would like to say on behalf of Jhamma Rinpoche Lakpan to say thank you very much for Jhamma Rinpoche's giving teaching for us. And then now Jhamma Rinpoche passed away in 1992. And until then who take care really for here but religious part, you know. Without Jhamma Rinpoche, I don't think we will have any like Dharma activities in here. And you all, especially lineage talk, that's why Rinpoche passed away. I don't think we will have this kind of Dharma activities in here. Because of Jhamma Rinpoche's blessing, so he takes care the after Rinpoche passed away, his activity continues until 1997, you know, then I know that Kempa Rinpoche will take care, continues for always, because now Kempa Rinpoche reincarnation has already came. He's only 15 months, but he will be, that will take another maybe 10, 15 years. Until that, then of course Kempa Rinpoche will be always guiding us. That I have confidence. And then also what Kempa Rinpoche say now in the retreat center, they are the acharya. Of course they will come out, but they will try their best. But prophets, we all feel Kempa Rinpoche will take care of, you know. That's I have always confidence in him. And I really thanks for Kempa Rinpoche. Without his effort, we would not have a living like this in Pulahari. Of course, we have land and house, that's all, you know, and then after Rinpoche passed away, without Kempa Rinpoche, it would happen. And then because of Kempa Rinpoche's blessing, lava also, they all feel that now our spiritual part of, head of spiritual temple of the lava. And our monk, they all feel because Kempa Rinpoche is always there, you know. That's why we are stuck in more shelter in lava, and then we are increasing more monk. And then I also have a hope that in the future we can complete Kempa Rinpoche's have wish to have it here in Pulahari Ripetoji Institute. And because of Kempa Rinpoche, then I will try my best. I don't know how big we can done, but we already done, you know, because of Kempa Rinpoche. Every year our program goes better and better. Then I think 1-2 years later we will try to build the Ripetoji Institute. Then how to handle that actually depends on Kempa Rinpoche. That's all I like to say. And then we are, then I will say thank you for all of you joining here. Yeah, I hope you all enjoy in here. Maybe they are, I don't know how our staff did in down here, but I hope you all have to be, feel like if there's something not went well, I think you all accept that. So we will try our best for next year again. I hope that will go better and better. Okay. And then Kempa Rinpoche Thuji Che. Then I really want Kempa Rinpoche to a long life.
Manjur Jambo.